Of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from the mountain in the Ozarks, near Branson, Missouri. We're going through my old Eschatology School 1 because it's still apropos in this day, and we have looked at the place of prophecy in the scriptures, and we have looked at the fact that the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves workmen approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if the word can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. We went into that yesterday. And we have found that a scripture, you must not go by what's just written at the top of the page. David Barron was born in Russia in 1855 and brought up in a strict, devout Jewish family. His education was under the rigorous tutelage of the rabbinic training of the period. On a search of the scriptures, he found the Messiah to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, someone says of him writing in the front of the book, his book, Zechariah, Barron launches right into commenting on Zechariah. He is also ever alert to those places where many in the Gentile church have spiritualized or even phantomized scripture when it refers to Jerusalem or Israel. The reader should avoid, warns Barron, substituting an unnatural and shadowy meaning for what is plain and obvious in the text. You know, I find this in, there's a book that's been written, The Harbinger. And the rabbi who wrote it, Rabbi Kahn, I believe is his name, lots of people are reading it, and he has noticed scriptures that were taken out of context. And they happened, this really, really actually happened in real life. When the Twin Towers were destroyed, some politician wanted to make a speech, and he said, "We will rebuild," and the speechwriter goes in and finds a scripture that says that. And actually, the scripture was taken from someone who was very impudent against God. So I find it a lot. I find that people preach, and they take scriptures that don't apply to the church, and they try to make them apply to the church. So we want to be able to rightly divide the scriptures that are written to the, we're told that there are three groups of people that God sees and to whom he writes scriptures. 1 Corinthians 10:32, the Jews, the nations, and the church. Actually, it says in the New Testament, the Jews, Gentiles, and church, King James. Your Bible might say Jews, Greeks, and church, because the entire Greek world had been Hellenized. And so, Gentile world, excuse me, had been Hellenized. It had been Greekalized, you might say. So, the first, we're going to use the word Jews, nations, and church, because we want to go back to what God calls the Gentiles, and he uses the word goyim, which means nations. We're going to talk about these three groups, the Jews, the nations, and the church, and we're going to talk about scriptures and prophecies that have to do with them. The first one that's ever mentioned to us, even before the Jews, are the nations. And we find this Hebrew word, goyim, in Genesis chapter 10. The flood had come. You know that love brought that flood. There was so much evil that had it been allowed to go on, even Noah, his sons might have been persuaded otherwise. But Noah, his son, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, God provided an ark for them, and they were saved. And this is the first place that we're going to find the 70 nations, the goyim. This is where they are given to us. It is written in chapter 10 of Genesis. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them sons were born after the flood, the sons of Japheth, and it names them, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Yavan, and Tubal, and Meshach and Tiras. Now, we know some of these names. They come from Yafet. But let's take, for instance, Yavan. That's Greece. Or Meshach. That's an ancient name for Moscow. And so we see the sons of Yafet, and that's the son of Noah. And then we see his sons. It lists there 14. And then we see, then he says in verse 5, by these were the isles of the Goyim, the nations divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after his families in their nations. This is the first time that we find out the word nations. You're not going to find out what God means by nations by going to the Greek New Testament and finding ethnos. You're going to find out what God means by nations by going to the law of first mention when he mentions the nations, and he gives us the 70 foundational nations. We see then in chapter 10, verse 6, and these are the sons of Ham, the second son. And it lists Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. We know some of these names. We know that Mizraim is Egypt. We know that Phut is Libya. And so then he names all the sons of Ham and he calls them nations. And then we go down to Shem for the third son, verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of the children of Eber, or the Ivrites, the Hebrews, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. And he names the sons of Shem. The first one is Elam. Elam is Iran. Very interesting to notice that the Arabs, they come from actually the Arabic nations, and Elam, the Persians, they are listed here as coming from the same son that Israel comes from the sons of Shem. Now, some of the Arabic nations, like Egypt, they come from the son of Ham. So we have the three sons. I'm going to read to you from a Jewish source, the Talmudic tradition, that's the oral law, that there are 70 nations is based upon the ensuing list of Noah's descendants. This tradition is deep-rooted. The most common system of ascribing 14 nations to Japheth, 30 to Ham, 26 to Shem, totaling 70. Shem, Ham, and Japheth themselves are omitted, as are the Philistines, who are designated as a mixed race in verse 14. The 70 bullocks sacrificed by Israel on Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, were offered to atone for the sins of the 70 nations. They were, Israel was like a priestly. They did a priestly service for the other nations. God wants all nations to rise to their greatest spiritual potential. In Genesis 9:27, it speaks of, may God extend Japheth. He extended Japheth's boundaries, and Japheth's sons moved on up into Europe, moved on up into Moscow, Russia, and the places that we see listed there. Then from the line of Ham, we also mentioned Egypt. And then from the line of Shem, there are 26 nations. There are 30 nations from the line of Ham. There are 26 from the line of Shem. In verse 21, it says, and to Shem also to him were born. He was the ancestor of all those who lived on the other side, or Eber, the Ivrites. He was the father of all who dwelt across the river, whence came Abraham's family. Elam is mentioned often in Scripture, and that is one of the sons of Shem. And it is the area that was Persia, Iran today. We see Ashur, which is the Assyrians, and we see Arphaxad, the Chaldeans, who lived on the coastland of the lower Euphrates. Aram, the Aramaeans, these are all sons of Shem, who lived in the Fertile Crescent. David, in his conquest, and annexed this territory to Eretz Israel. Eber, it says, was one of the righteous men at that time. And along with his grandfather Shem, he established a yeshiva. These things we know from the history. The nations who are named for us in chapter 10 rebel against God in chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. You know the story. And they said, let us build a tower, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now it was God's will that they be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. He had told them when they got off the boat that that was his will. It says in chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But they said, no, we don't want to get apart from each other. And actually, 340 years after the flood, they had made no move to part. They were all together on one plane, and they concocted this idea to build the Tower of Babel. You know the story. God came down and confused their speech. The one who encouraged them to do this was Nimrod. We're going to go back to chapter 10. We're talking now about the nations rebelled against God. Nimrod led that rebellion. We're going back to chapter 10, which gives us all the 70 nations. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, from the Jewish Chumash, what they know about him was he was not a hunter of, like you say, lions and tigers and bears. He was a hunter of men's souls against the Lord. The Bible speaks of those who hunt men's souls. And he was the mighty hunter who hunted men to turn away and rebel against God and not do God's plan and go throughout all the earth, but to stay in one place. Verse 10, speaking of Nimrod, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Kainan, and the land of Shinar. Out of that land, well, let's take this word, the beginning of his kingdom. He wasn't supposed to have a kingdom. There were no kings before Nimrod. He set his own little kingdom up, named his own self as king, and he said, you don't have to obey God. You just can obey me. And so they built that Tower of Babel. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech and Akkad. Out of the land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh, and that's the Assyrian. So from Cush and Nimrod and Babel and Nineveh, all of these things were rebellion against God. And this is what was established at that time was the Babylonian system. Of course, God confused them. He said, if I don't confuse their language, they can do anything they want to. So we see here that the nations are in need of redemption. They have rebelled against God. This is Billy Brim thanking you for being with us today and during this time of our going through the school of eschatology. It's so important in these last days to know what the Bible says, to rightly divide the word. And we'd like you to, if you want to contact us, you can do so by calling 1-800-972-3447 or 417-336-4877. Go on billybrim.org, and there you can listen to the archived radio programs and catch up if you tuned in with us late. So those will tell you how to do it. We've so enjoyed having you. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.